And we want to do that this evening. And I trust that it'll be a blessing to you as we look at God's word, as we sing some songs. And I trust that we can have our hearts prepared for what the Lord has for us. As we think of what our Lord did, here's a question for you. Why did he do what he did? Why did he do what he did? Let me think about that for a moment, and I have some things that I would like to offer by way of suggestions. And let me just say at the outset, we're not going to look at every answer that could be, but I trust that what the Lord has put on my heart will be a blessing to you as we review the communion service and what we observe and we remember what our Lord did for us. Do you think it's possible for us ever to discover anything new and previously unknown or something that we have never considered before as far as the communion service? I think it is, huh? You're more optimistic than I am. The reason I say that is because of the basis of what our Lord did, and I trust you'll see and maybe re-evaluate your answer that, no, I guess there isn't anything new for us to discover. We just review old truths. Having said that, I ask, why did he do what he did? And I basically have answered that with this answer. He did it because of our condition. Our condition. Well, what was our condition? We're going to look at several words. And the first word is the word dead. We were dead. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. And I want us to look at verses 16 and 17. Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That was the restriction that God plainly gave to Adam. One thing as I was preparing for this evening, as I looked at this, was to realize that this was not a command that God gave to Adam and Eve, at least as far as the chronology here in the book of Genesis. It tells us back in chapter 1 of Genesis that God created man in his own image. And in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. He blessed them, told them to be fruitful, multiply, and I've given you every herb-bearing seed, and also every tree, which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, for you its food. But as we get to chapter 2, at least the way Moses recorded it, it does not say here that Eve was standing there, because actually, as you go on in the chronology of chapter 2, after God said, "The day you eat of it, you shall surely die," in verse 18, the Lord said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him." And so we find that in verse 21, God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept. He made the woman, brought her to him. And I'm sure you understand that the chronology of events, it's kind of mixed up in chapters 1 and 2. Because chapter 1 closed with Adam and Eve. And God said you can eat everything, every green thing. Then we get to chapter 2 and you find how God made the woman. So we take these things, but interestingly enough, it says here in verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man. So Adam knew what the parameters were. He knew what God expected of them and what God had restricted upon them. Yes, it seems like earlier God had said in chapter 1, you can eat of every tree that bears fruit. And then we get to chapter 2 and God is a little bit more specific. And he said, you can eat everyone except this one. We know what happened, don't we? Adam and Eve both ate. Well, what did that do to them? If the Lord said, the day you eat of it, you'll surely die. Did mankind die or didn't he? We go to Ephesians chapter 2. And Paul starts out that second chapter. As we look at these first three verses, he says, and you hath he quickened, or he gave life, who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. So did Adam and Eve die when they ate that? Certainly they did. In what sense did they die? They died spiritually. He gave life. You who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Because we died, we find that we not only our condition was one of dead and we needed help, but we find another word that describes our condition is we were sinners. We were sinners. Dead sinners. In Romans chapter 5, we see this in verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, who's that one man? Adam. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. We were all dead spiritually, for that all have sinned. So, as we look at trying to answer the question, why did he do what he did? Because we were dead spiritually, and we were sinners by nature. Let's sing a song, number 356, 356. Thinking of our condition and the fact that we have seen that we were dead and we were sinners, we discover there's something that is connected with the fact of a person being a sinner. There can't be sin in one's life without it affecting one's relationship with God. We were dead, we died spiritually. We are all, and we're all sinners before Christ went to the cross, and that's why he went there. But what else is it, Pastor? What else are you talking about? Our sin had separated us from God. Our sin had separated us from God. Man wasn't always separated from God. We know back in the book of Genesis, when God created man and man was sinless, man enjoyed perfect fellowship with his Creator. But once sin entered, there was separation. Why? Because that's what sin does between us and God. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 59, Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, we read these words. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, sins, have done what? They have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, that he will not hear. So we see our problem was getting more complex. Not only were we dead spiritually, but because of that sin in Romans 5:12, death had passed upon all of us, and because we had all sinned, we were sinners. And the thing that comes with being a sinner is we discover that now my sin is separating me from God. How could man get rid of his sin? Well, just stop sinning. Would that get rid of it? Would that have gotten rid of it? No. That would not have changed our sin nature. It would have not, that would not have brought spiritual life to one which was spiritually dead. So, our Lord, knowing separated from God, knew what had to be done. And in Romans chapter 5, if you turn back there once again, this time we see in the 10th verse of Romans 5:10, we discover this. If when we were enemies against whom? Against God. We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. The Lord acted upon our condition. And we find that one of the things that was accomplished by the work that our Lord did for us is that we were reconciled to God. We were able to be brought into fellowship with him once again. Why? Because Christ dealt with our sins. He made it possible for you and me, whose sins had separated us from God, and there was no way that there could ever be any reconciliation on our own or any other way. It required the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are celebrating this evening. Let's sing once again, number 389. As we think once again of the condition that humanity found itself in before our Lord went to the cross, we were dead spiritually because we were sinners. And our sin had separated us from God. Adding to that condition was the fact that mankind was helpless to do anything about his condition. Mankind was helpless. That's what God's Word teaches us, isn't it? We know that there are multitudes of people today that think of themselves, my condition isn't that bad. I can do this or this or this, and it will gain God's favor, and I'll be all right in the end. We know there are people like that, don't we? But the truth of the matter, according to Scripture, is this. Mankind was hopeless and totally helpless. There was nothing he could do. Some would suggest, but wait, God gave the way in the Old Testament through the law, and if they would just keep the law, then everything would have been okay. But it was not possible for a person to keep the law, which number two, God never designed to be the way of salvation. That was not God's purpose for giving us the law. God's purpose for giving us the law was to show us the standard he demanded, and to show each and every one that there's no way I can keep that, there's no way I can do all that. And that's what God wanted us to see. We needed help. We needed help. We could not accomplish the standards God had set in his law. The law which was designed to bring us to Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, we see of our helplessness. Romans 8, 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. You see, there was none of us ever able to do whatever the law demanded. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. I like the way Paul put that. Paul did not say that God sent his own Son in sinful flesh. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that the Lord Jesus was just a sinner like anybody else. God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, that's why he came. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What this is telling us here very simply is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, 21. Our Lord came and did for us what we were not able to do, and provide for us the righteousness which the law could never bring us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Remember, Romans 8:3, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Not, he wasn't a sinner, but God made his Son sin for us, made him begin to experience the burden, the consequences of sin. He knew no sin, but he was bearing your sins and my sins in his own body. God did that, making his own Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our Lord did this because of the condition of humanity. We were dead. We were sinners. We were separated because of our sins. And we were helpless. There was nothing we could do to change our standing and our condition. He had to do what he did. And he did it willingly. Turn with me, if you would, to number 371. As we think of why our Lord did what he did, we think of all the words that we have suggested, and there is one yet that we have not suggested. We talked about our condition, and that is certainly true, the words that we've described our condition. I chose four different thoughts. As I said, there are many, many more things that we could have added to that. But I want us to end our consideration of these thoughts this evening with one more word. Why did he do what he did for us? And the answer is because God loved us. God loved us. Let's all say John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
One thought. The love of God. That's why our Lord did what he did. Because of the Father's love for you and for me, in spite of what mankind had done, they had rejected his word, they had turned away from him, they were separated by their sins, there was nothing on their own they could do about it, and rather than leaving us in that condition, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I close our thoughts with Romans chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8. And it tells us this: for when we were yet without strength, helpless, nothing we could do, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure, or perhaps, for a good man some would dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why Christ did what he did. We've just scratched the surface. But I trust it has been a blessing and an encouragement as we rehearse these truths. Did we learn anything we didn't know about communion tonight? No. But what a blessing to review the truth that we had already known. Because as we started out this morning in our new series, the book of James, it is the truth. It's the truth that sets us free. And that's what we want to hold on to. The truth of God's word. It wasn't your goodness or mine what sent our Lord to the cross. It was our sinfulness and the love of the Father that sent him down to this earth for you and me. Let's close with number 185. 185.